Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Let's go straight into the Word of God. And I'm still speaking on the theme for the month. And thank God for all our pastors who have been speaking so profoundly about this theme. It's been amazing. On Wednesday, Pastor Bennett was speaking on Wednesday. I was here and I took copious notes while he was sharing on the mystery of mercy. It was just profound and amazing. And the same goes with all our other pastors. Amen. I said amen. All right. Psalm 23 and verse 6. Is where we are, and it simply says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to note something. On Wednesday, I'm going to be sharing much more on the theme. Literally every Wednesday, I'm going to be expounding on the theme because we are very few weeks or few days before the end of the month, and we still do have our Thanksgiving by the end of the month. So I'm going to take advantage of every Wednesday to keep breaking it down until we are done with it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are four lies that Satan tells to block you from enjoying the goodness and the mercy of God. Four lies. The first lie the devil says to you is that because the world is full of pain, God is either non-existent or God is not involved. This one lie was the reason why Steve Jobs of Apple refused to be a Christian. Steve Jobs one day bought the newspaper going to work. He saw the newspaper and in front page was a photograph of Ethiopians starving, dying of starvation. There were people that looked like skeletons in the middle of their war with Eritrea. They were looking like kwashiorkor. They looked terrible and horrible. And Steve Jobs read and read and read and turned to his father, his foster father, the guy that adopted him, and said, if there is God, how can he allow people to suffer like this? Where is the God? What was God doing when people are going through what they are going through? Steve Jobs said, I have made up my mind I will never step into a church. Because if God is alive, he's either non-existent or he's not interested in what is going on around us. That's why people are going through pain. Ladies and gentlemen, that sounds like a very logical argument until you understand what the Bible truly says about the situation of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, God created this entire earth and made man to become the landlord. He said, let them have dominion over the earth. But man was very smart. Satan lied to man that there's something he will do and he will become smarter than God. So man cooperated with Satan. And in cooperating with Satan, he took the title deeds of the world, of the earth that God has given him, and he gave it to Satan. And Satan took that dominion mandate from man. Ladies and gentlemen, from the time that man, God gave the earth to man, he said, let them have dominion. We made it, but they have dominion. So God distanced himself from the earth. And guess what? Man did not only collect it, man now handed it over to Satan. So when you see wickedness, evil, bloodshed, scripture actually declares the whole world lies in wickedness. How do you explain, ladies and gentlemen, that a young girl by the name of Ochaya was sent by her mother to stay with the mother's sister? And then she got there. Then the son of the mother's sister starts raping her from 5 years old. And then somebody caught the son, reported to the father, who is the father of this girl, in every sense, because this girl is now under his custody. And the man joined the son. And he's a lecturer in Benue Polytechnic. And both of them began to rape the girl systematically in turns. Until at the age of 9, she died of vesicular something, something, something. That's not sex. That's evil and wickedness. That's not sex. That's evil. The whole world lies in wickedness. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me? What happened? Pastor, What exactly do you mean? You know, man is no longer the landlord of the earth. Man is more pretty much like the tenant of the earth. And let me explain to you. You rented a house, you paid rent. Okay, before I say what I said, because God has handed over the earth to man, God cannot randomly come and intervene in the affairs of the earth without permission from man. That permission that God needs from man is what you and I call prayer. Everybody say prayer. I can't hear you say prayer. Prayer is you giving permission to God to intervene in the midst of the darkness of the earth. Prayer is man giving permission to God to say, show up. That's why he says, the hand of God is not short that it cannot reach. Neither is ears too deaf that they cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated before you. And he said, call upon me in the day of trouble. If you don't call upon me, I will watch it go on. I don't have permission to show up anyhow. It is when you call upon me, I can intervene. So you rented a house, for example, from this landlord. And after renting the house, you started living there. Sunday ended after service like this, you got back home. And as you tried to open the door with your key, you found the door was already open. And then as you opened the door, something, an aroma was coming from your kitchen. Ah! You're wondering, all the children are with you. Your husband is still coming out of the car. Somebody is cooking in your house. At this time, you're apprehensive. Which arm robber broke into my house? Until you open the kitchen. And here is your wonderful landlord who loves you so much. And he said, look, I woke up this morning and discovered that there's nothing in my house. And I said, since I'm the landlord of this house, I already have a spare key to your house. So let me just enter and just fry some egg for myself and fry some yam just to take care of myself as the official landlord of the house. Was I not the one that built the house? The only thing that will save that landlord is that you're not an Isoko man. So you don't know how to tolop. Somebody say tolopia. There's no cutlass in your house. Now in Delta State, please, are you still with me, somebody? Now, guess what? No matter how much you respect that landlord, question, is it the one that built the house? Answer me, somebody. Answer me, is it the one that built the house? Does he have a right to enter your kitchen without your permission? Why? Because he has leased the house to you. You are the official tenant of the house. Yes, he built the house, but all in and for this 1 year that you paid rent, you are the one that owns that house. And that landlord does not have a right anywhere in the world to step into your house until he has your permission. Is that true, somebody? Please answer me, is that true, somebody? If somebody will not go to the grave that day that you saw that landlord, it's simply because the blood of Jesus is speaking on your behalf. God will never do anything until he has your permission for him to intervene. So when people say, how come people are just dying and God didn't do anything? You know, I had somebody say a few days ago, so where is all the prayer of Adeboye? Where is the prayer of this one? Where is the prayer of that one? If all their prayer is working, blah, 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 blah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this. There are things God will never, ever do until God has legal rights from man. Man gives him space to be able to intervene. He will never be able to do anything. The second thing I want you to know, are you still with me, somebody? That's why the scripture says, Psalm 115 verse 16, it said, the heavens, as the Lord, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Psalm 115 and verse number 16. Are you still with me, somebody? The second lie of the devil, why he shortchanges us from enjoying mercy and goodness, the devil says, because you don't know everything about God, you cannot be sure of anything. Pastor, there's a question that we ask you now you cannot answer. And as long as you cannot answer that question, you have no right to tell me anything about God. So the person asks you, especially if it's Jehovah's Witness, tell me, where did the wife of Eve come from? Between you and me, I have done 40-something years in ministry. Even me, I don't know. Where did his wife come from? I don't know. And I'm not supposed to know everything. Is anybody hearing me? The day you know all the answers in the Bible, you have become God also. Did you hear what I said? There is no law anywhere that says you know everything. See, if we know everything, from that day you too, you become like God. The Bible says, for now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But the day is coming when that which is perfect is come, all things will be made known. So for those of us who say, when I get to heaven, and we ask God this question, you don't need to even ask him. When that day comes, you will know all things. The songwriter says we'll understand him better by and by. Is that correct? Please answer me. Is that correct? So that I cannot answer. I was sharing the first service. I was in Abuja last weekend as soon as I came back from my trip. And there was a marriage seminar. And they asked me one question I could not answer. And I said to them, I don't have the answer. I don't know it. I didn't come here as the ancient of days who understands all things. No, I came here as a man who is also learning like you. So the ones I know, I will answer. The one I don't know, why will I lie to you to service my ego that I'm what? That I'm what? I told them, you see this particular one? I don't know. The way you don't know me to know. So all of us go find out together. The next time when we come back, we go look for an answer. Praise God. Your ability to admit you don't know will save you a lot of trouble. Lying to impress who now? To impress who? Admit you don't know. But let me tell you the other side of the equation. So the small Bible that you know, that one you know, please practice it. Stand with that one. Run with that one. The secret things belong to the Lord. The ones he has not made to the sons of men, they belong to him. See, don't kill yourself with too much revelation. You have enough understanding and revelation to run your Christian life. So when you hear somebody say, God is not in heaven, oh boy, don't let those things move you. There are people who just, you know, there are some young preachers who like to talk about mysteries, the mystery of the kingdom. I want to share with you the mystery of the bread of Aaron. What did I go do with the bread of Aaron? He go give me food for table. Will he's going to pay my children's school fee or take care of my house rent? As long as the bread of Aaron does not have any bearing with my present life and survival, keep your mystery to yourself. So some deliverance ministers want to tell you about demonology. So they now begin. Say, Asmundi. Apollyon. See, there are only two angels that are recorded in the Bible. Gabriel, Michael. Any other one you want to import from anywhere? It's your bloody business. Keep importing demons and keep inventing names of demons. I know two. Angel, Gabriel, Michael. That's enough revelation for me. You go with your Asmundi, Abaddon. One day I was doing deliverance for somebody. Then the demon said, I am Yahoo, the king of the Astra. I will not carry that one and put it inside my theology. Yahoo, the king of the Astra. Christ, the worry in my head. What have I done with all the revelation I have that I want to now begin to have this one to read? So those of you who are looking for mysteries, and they beg you, the line between mystery and mysticism, I want thing one, oh. When you cross to the other side, you will not know. Because you are looking for mystery. Are you still there, somebody? Not little line like this, man of God. Between mystery and mysticism. You enter mysticism, you don't go. Next thing, you just walk out, walk on the street. Are you still there, somebody? Number three, lie of the devil. Number three, lie of the devil. Because those who represent God are imperfect, their messages cannot be trusted. Are you still there? So he said, come on. Pastor Deboye said something the other time. What do you think about it? So all those, our frontline men of God, our fathers, they start saying that. They take them up on the internet. See what Oyedepo said. See what Pastor Jerry Eze said. See what Ibiomi said. See what Pastor Paul said. And they want to use that to say, as long as the men that God, that represent God, is not perfect, we have no right to preach to them and believe anything. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. It says, when God wants to choose men to represent him, every high priest is taken from among angels. He's taken from among what? Angels. Am I correct? When God was looking for who to represent him, he didn't go for angels who are perfect. He went for men. He says, ordained for men to bring for things concerning pertaining to God. Blah, blah, blah. Verse 2. Why did God leave angels and go to men? He says, who can have compassion on the ignorant? Men will have compassion on the ignorant and on people that make mistakes, that go out of the way. Why will they have compassion on them? Why will they understand them? Because he himself is also compassed with what? I told you the other time, when I was telling God, I will propose only to one woman. You remember? I said, only one, nothing will make me. When I stand on the pulpit, hallelujah. I say, I propose only to one woman, and by the grace of God, she became my wife. Those of you who are proposing to 2-3 girls in the church, the Lord will judge you in the mighty name of Jesus. So God messed me up so badly. One day I saw a woman again. And I said, God, why are you doing this to me? He said, if I answer that stupid prayer you prayed, you will carry a microphone as a pastor and make it become the model and begin to judge and condemn everybody who proposed to more than one person. So I decided to mess you up so you can have compassion on the ignorant, because you also have been a man of the same infirmity. Is anybody hearing me? For you to have compassion, you have gone to have sat down where most of them are sitting down. If God made angels who are perfect to become his representatives, none of us will ever have hope of serving God. Please, are you hearing me, somebody? Talk to him. Are you hearing me, somebody? And by the way, let me say this to you. For you to even be imagining that God is good, that men of God are perfect, something is not okay with your imagination. There's not one human being on the face of the earth called man of God who is perfect. All of us make mistakes. Did anybody hear me? I can't hear you. Listen, the vessel may not be perfect, but the virtue that they carry is always perfect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So men of God, we make mistakes. I shared in the first service how one day one of my pastor friends came to preach here. I was talking with him in the hotel room. He made a phone call, and then he was telling the lady he was talking to, "I'm with your former pastor." I said, "Former pastor?" When he was done, I said, "You mean the girl is no longer a member of my church?" He said, "No." And that she left the church. And I asked him, "Did she tell you why she left?" He said, "Yes, she told him why she left the church." I said, "How long was she in church?" He said, 5 years. I said, "Why did she leave?" She said, "One day you were preaching, and this was in Presidential Hotel, and you said something she did not like." I said, "How many years did he say she was in church again?" He said, 5 years. 5 years? Only one bad thing. I said, I try, die. I said, "Tell her to move on to that pastor that does not make mistakes." I said, "Because if only one bad thing," I said, "do you know how crazy, do you know how many times I enter this pulpit, I feel like slapping somebody? Do you know how many times we hold this microphone so frustrated that we feel like calling God a liar? And we have to smile, we have to put on confidence, and we have to tell you God is good and pray for you to receive answers. Meanwhile, we are bleeding on the inside." TD just calls it leading while bleeding. But guess what? So many times when we make mistakes, it's not because we are bad. It's simply because we are human like you. Is anybody hearing me? Yes, I know pastors make mistakes. I make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. But it does not invalidate or disregard the sacredness of what we carry. Please, is anybody hearing me? So stop attacking the men of God, particularly our fathers. You can attack small boys like us. Leave our fathers alone. These men have paid a high price. These men have suffered. So if they make mistakes, calm down. You too, you make mistakes. So don't expect them to be perfect. Can I hear amen, somebody? Can I hear a better amen, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the reasons why a lot of the times when we tell people to take card like this and enter streets and go and reach out to people, some of the people refuse. You know why? Say, "Pastor, inside this yard, I go invite somebody to come church. This yard, when me and my wife don't fight, everybody see us, they fight. If I carry this card to them, they go laugh me, they go fall for grand. Because all of them know when me and my wife, they fight. They see all the nonsense I've done in this yard." Guess what, guys? The fact that you came to meet them in the midst of your mistake, to invite them to church, communicates to them God is at work in your life. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? Yes. That woman that Jesus met at the well in John chapter 4, the woman that was there, you know, that Jesus told her, "You already have 5 husbands. The 6th one is in the house. And even as you are talking to me, you are hoping I'll be the 7th one." Please, are you hearing me, somebody? At the end of that conversation, guys, that woman returned back and brought the entire city to Jesus with her boyfriend still in the house. There's no the Bible that told us the boyfriend has packed away. The only thing I would have assumed is that the boyfriend too joined and to come and hear Jesus. Is anybody hearing me? When they came, listen, the people you are preaching to know, you're not preaching about yourself, you're preaching about another person. When they came, they now said to the woman, "The first time we came was because of you, but now we have had him ourselves. It's no longer because of you, it's because we've met him ourselves." I'm begging you, with your infirmity, with your struggling with your anger, your sexuality, keep sharing the word of God. You know why? There's a way you will preach this gospel. God will look at you and say, "This man is putting his head in this thing, and not for his sake, but for my name's sake. Let me correct his life. Let me package him well. Let me arrange his anger problem in his life so he won't mess up my name." That's why David said, "He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For whose sake? Because now you are doing something that involves his name. God is under pressure to fix your life so you can represent him well. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. As you represent his name, may God fix your issues in the name of Jesus. I say, may God settle you in the name of Jesus. The final reason why a lot of people are lied to by the devil to change them from goodness and mercy. They say, because someone did not receive help from God, it's unreasonable for you to believe that God will help you. Pastor, you say I should follow God, goodness and mercy, explain to me, that other sister that goes to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and she's now 45 years old without husband, explain to me, where is the goodness of God? Explain to me, when I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, my mother still died, in spite of the prayer, where is the goodness of God? Explain to me how Miles Moreau will die in a plane crash. Explain to me how that I paid my tithes. I did this one. I sowed seed. And at the end of the day, they still shut down my shop. Explain to me. Where is the goodness of God? If something bad happened to someone else and God did not help him, what's the guarantee God will help me? Please, are you still with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still with me? My God, are you still with me? The first thing I want to say to you is that the failure of order does not define you. You are you. They are they. We all have different journeys we are taking in life. Is that true, somebody? We have two different journeys we are taking in life. Their failure does not determine. Everybody have their own unique story in life. That's the first thing I want to tell you. The second thing I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is no such thing as covenant failure. But there's such thing as, sometimes, it's not because of covenant failure, but because there's a story behind the scene you don't know. The first thing I've said in this meeting is that we don't have all the answers. Is that okay? Please answer me, is that okay? If we have all the answers, you will not be able to explain that Papa E.A. Adeboye is first son, who is also a pastor. In my opinion, that's the most likely person to succeed him. In my opinion, that guy died as a full-time pastor. How do you explain that? Somebody now says, if God is really good, how can he disappoint a man like E.A. Adeboye? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is number one, God is sovereign. We don't know the things he does. We shall understand him by and by. The second thing is that your journey is unique. Don't use other people to judge your journey. Listen to this. Use the word of God to conjure your own journey. Not the experience of someone else. But the third thing I want to tell you is that a lot of the times, and this is my final point, a lot of the times, ladies and gentlemen, you know the front story, but you don't know the back story. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? You know the front story, but you don't fully understand the back story. So I give you an example, ladies and gentlemen. Jacob was one of the greatest patriarchs. The man who birthed the nation of Israel is called Jacob. Are you aware the wife he truly loved, called Rachel, died in childbirth? Explain to me. This man is the patriarch. This is the guy that gave birth to the nation called Israel, which is a type of the church of God. His beloved wife died in childbirth. Now, when you hear a story like that, you judge God to be unfaithful. What was God doing when the patriarch will lose his wife? But what you also don't know is that there's a back-end story you're not aware of. What's the back-end story? Mr. Jacob has served his father, his uncle, Leah. And now he was escaping with his wives and children. The Bible said the uncle chased him to a particular place and said, one of you have collected the instruments of my divination. Please notice, he called it the instruments of my divination. Pastor, what's instruments of my divination? That thing that I used to hear from the spirit world. When I cast it on the ground, I say a few incantations, I hear. They speak to me. Somebody among you has collected it. And Jacob was angry and said, listen, why will you accuse me of such an insult? In fact, by the way, come and search all of us. I can swear to you that there's nobody among us that took it. And if there's anybody who took that thing, let the person die. Now the father-in-law began to search person to person. They got to Rachel. Rachel was sitting down on top of the idols that they are looking for. And guess what? Eventually, as she sat down on that thing with her birth canal, it was time for her to give birth. The child she gave birth to, she died on top of that delivery. The question you want to ask first of all is, what is Rachel doing with a native doctor's source of divining? Married to a pastor, but consulting a native doctor. Married to a pastor, but there's a prayer house she goes to. Nobody in the family knew. Why did she collect the instruments of divination? She felt that when she's going down to her real father-in-law's place, she's going to be needing it. Jacob hears God as a prophet. Remember, he had a dream of ladder. This man is in covenant with God. He's married to a wife who is seeing native doctor behind. So here was a pastor's wife still sacked with idolatry. Number two, the husband who is a prophet opened his mouth and say, anybody carrying this thing will die. Fear would have caught Rachel at that time, but not when you are very familiar with the pastor and you have no respect for his oil. She still sat down on top of it. And listen to this. When she told her father, I am in my period. Listen to this. In those days, there was no pad. There was no tampon. When you see them say, don't come to church in your period, it's not because there's anything wrong with period. It's because when a woman is in a period, she's messed up. All the instruments we have now to cover period was not existing. So most women don't know, Palau women with heavy flow, they don't know how to control it. Because we didn't have all those gadgets then. That's why it's not because of any reason they banned women from coming to the synagogue during their period. It's because it was messy. So this woman is sitting down and she lied. It was a period. What am I trying to say? When she finally died in childbirth, nobody made the connection that when they were saying anybody carrying this thing will die, you were sitting down with the same birth canal that you used to give birth to a child on top of your lie and on top of your idolatry. Somebody else has judged God unfaithful for the death of Rachel. What they don't know is that there's a story behind the story that they don't know about. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I pray for you. Let mercy prevail on you. Let the goodness of God prevail on your behalf. Shout a living amen, somebody. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I have time to talk to you about the Ark of the Covenant. Are you aware that, ladies and gentlemen, in the days of Eli and his two sons, the Ark of the Covenant was a type of the presence of God? Do you know that they went for battle? Not only did they kill Eli and kill the two sons, they kidnapped God. The Ark of the Covenant, a symbol of the presence of God, was kidnapped by the Philistines. Is that true? Question, where is God? How can people kidnap God and God didn't act? God didn't fight back. What kind of God are you talking about? That they kidnapped him and he didn't fight back. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. What nobody knows is the back end story. What's the back end story? Eli's two sons were involved in two crimes. Number one, they serve the offerings on the altar. There's the one that belongs to them. They leave the one that belongs to them. They will collect everything that belongs to the temple and they will eat it. Number two, the Bible said they were sleeping with the women that came to the temple to offer sacrifices. God was angry and God told his father, and the father did not do anything about it. In one day, all of them died in battle. But to show you that it was not a covenant failure, those who kidnapped God now took it to the temple of Dagon. You remember? They woke up the next day. Dagon was on top of his face. They said that it was the hurricane Melissa that came. Let us now put it back again. The next day, two hands and two legs were missing from Dagon. Those who came to peep to find out what exactly is going on here, they were struck with cancer. The Bible called it emeralds. All of them had cancer for peeping into the ark. It was at that point they knew that this thing is not dead, though. There's something else wrong, though. It's not because this thing is powerless, though. That is when they now beg and say, "Who can I come carry nothing?" The Philistines returned it themselves. You remember? Please talk to me now. Now they use their own hand, return and say, "We're not kidnapped again. Well, don't pay ransom." They now brought it and put it in the hand of a gentleman called Aminadab. Is that right? Answer me, is that right? For 20 years, that ark was in the house of Aminadab. You didn't hear of any miracle. Not even his chicken gave birth to twins. On the day, they now say, let them move it to the city of David. Please listen to this story. The son of Aminadab, who has lived with the presence of God for 20 years and treated it like a stupid, useless box, now wanted to show that he's very loving of God and he's very careful about, he reverences God so, but the thing stumbled in the ark. He said, make him balance, and God said, no. You're not going to come and disgrace me here and show that and be hypocritical about your commitment to me. The Bible said there was a breach. The word breach means to behead, to divide into two. God beheaded him. Fear caught everybody. Then I said, okay, what do we do now since this thing is now killing people? We thought that we're happy to have it back from kidnap. Gentlemen, there was a black man called Obedidom. They say if anybody's going to die, let black man die. And I carried the thing and put in his house. Obedidom saw the thing from the gate. They started doing Thanksgiving. In 3 months' time, sir, Obedidom was making headlines on CNN, the blessing of God upon his life. What was the difference? One had no regard for the presence. The other one worshiped the presence of God. The blessing of God came upon him and so on. People realized that, listen, that thing that happened to Eli and his two sons was not because there was a covenant failure. It was because these people at this time were living as he coupled. The glory has departed from them. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. May God give you the grace to show him the right attitude in the mighty name of Jesus. And may the mercy of God never depart from your life in the name of Jesus. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I know my time is already up, but let me just take a few minutes to wrap up by letting you know. Listen, the mercy of God is so powerful. The Bible says every day you wake up, there's a renewal of that mercy. It is new every single morning. This mercy of God we speak about, ladies and gentlemen, God put it. How many of you have bought a phone before? And suddenly you wake up one day and you're saying, update. There's an update that is due on your phone. God keeps renewing his mercy every day. It makes it better and better and better for you. So that's why Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What is it that gives you hope, Jeremiah? He said, that thing that gives me hope is of the Lord's mercy. We're not consume. And because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, in the first service, I was speaking to you about how this mercy of God is activated, how to guarantee God's goodness and mercy. And in the first service, I spoke to you and I said, one way to guarantee God's goodness and mercy is that you must have a right view of God, because the view of God you have will shape the experience of God you have. This service, I want to speak briefly within a short time on the second leg. You must sow mercy to reap mercy. Say after me, say, sow mercy, reap mercy. Say again, sow mercy and reap mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it was Matthew that said in chapter 5, verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God's goodness always flows towards those who sow mercies. And please understand it, your life is a seed. And every word, every action, every attitude, you're planting something. If you sow mercy, you will reap mercy. If you sow mercy, you will reap mercy. In Psalm 18, verse 25, it says, with the merciful, thou will show yourself merciful. And with the froward, thou will also show yourself froward. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we sow mercy? So we can reap mercy. That's what I want to close with this morning in the next few minutes. Number one, show kindness when vengeance is justified. Show kindness when vengeance is justified. Show kindness when vengeance is justified. I have no time to read to you, but look up here. David took up a job in the palace of King Saul to help out with the demons that were tormenting King Saul. And as he began to minister, it became clear that King Saul was jealous of the young man, especially when he realized that David had cut covenant with Jonathan, his son. King Saul spared him javelin several times. David dodged it. But when it became clear that his life was not safe, he ran into the forest. Ladies and gentlemen, Saul was not satisfied that this boy has left his job and disappeared from the palace. He said, no, as long as this boy is alive, my son may not become the next king. He chased David into the wilderness. And then by the time they got there, he didn't know the destination of David. David was the area father. He knows every corner of the place. David was watching them as they were chasing him, but they were not seeing David and his men. Eventually, they got tired and they slept. That night, David wanted to show the king, I have the opportunity of killing you, but I don't have any bad mind for you. So himself and his men advanced close to the sleeping Saul, the sleeping king and his soldiers. He collected a water bottle and he cut off his garments. They were about to go. One of the men of David said, sir, don't be angry. You are a righteous man, we know. We are not like you. This guy has been trying to kill you for God knows how long. This guy has been chasing us up and down. Please, just turn away. Don't look. I will strike this man only once. His head will leave his body. You become the king. We return back from this running up and down. I become chief of army staff. Everybody is settled. Is there anything wrong with this proposal? I'm asking you, anything wrong with the proposal? And David said, God forbid that I should lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed. But where the story gets interesting was when David now left, and as he was living with the garment of the king that he cut, his heart smote him. Because in those days, cutting the garment of the king or prophet meant dividing the kingdom. Saul tried that thing with King Samuel, with prophet Samuel. When Samuel said, the Lord has rejected you and turned to go, he held the garment, he tore. He said, the kingdom is departed from you by tearing my garment. David knew the implication of that. His heart smote him and he went far. And he lifted his voice and said, my father! My father! He said, take a look at your water bottle and your garment. I had the privilege of killing you. But that's not the plan I have for you. I'm not planning any evil against you. Listen, when David lifted his voice and said, my father, you need to know who is calling father. If there's anybody who knows the true spiritual state of Saul, it's David. Because he's the one that placed something to cast out demons from him. But in spite of that, he still had the reverence. He had the privilege of killing the king. He let him go. Let me tell you something about mercy you don't know. Has anybody ever heard the word jubilee before? You ever heard the word jubilee before? Listen to this. The covenant of mercy operates like jubilee. In fact, the jubilee is a type of the covenant of mercy. What do you do during jubilee? Three things happen. Number one, during jubilee, everybody who is a slave is set free. Two, every land you gave as a collateral to collect loan is returned back to the owner. And finally, what's the fourth thing that happens in jubilee? Your debts are canceled. In a month of goodness and mercy, let me tell you one of the things God is expecting you to do. There are people who have been very bad and wicked to you. Set them free. It's a long time. There are people who have been slaves to you because of the debt they are owing you. This debt, it's almost becoming like life imprisonment that they have with you. Because this debt has been there for 15 years. For some of you, it's a family affair. Your entire family has been in this feud, this fight. And because all everybody is dragging one small piece of land. In a month of goodness and mercy, if you have the power and the privilege, some of you, the reason why you have not bought more land is because you are dying over one little piece of land when God has earmarked acres of land for you. So some of you, what you want to do at this time is say, you know what, take the land, let me go. We give it to you free of charge. Listen to this, and please follow the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving illustration. Let the Lord speak to you. But what am I trying to say? There's somebody who has been very wicked and evil to you. All these years, you have been waiting for the opportunity to show them pepper. In this season of goodness and mercy, you know what you want to do to them? Forgive them. Release them. Let them go. Your blessings will not flow in the way God wants it to flow until some of you let go of the slaves that you have under you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Shout a better amen, somebody. Amen. So how do I show and activate this mercy of God? I said to you, number one, show kindness when vengeance is justified. Number two, are you still with me, somebody? Talk to me, are you still with me, somebody? Show mercy by helping others that you don't owe anything. Show mercy by helping people you don't owe them anything, and yet you show them mercy. Are you with me, somebody? Talk to me, are you still with me, somebody? You don't owe them anything, but just show them mercy. Be kind to them. Be nice to them. You are in a bus park or in an airport. Somebody walks through. Listen to this. I shared the story before. One day I was waiting for a flight. Place jam-packed. Bad weather. Nobody was flying. And then an elderly woman walked in, carrying a baby that looked like a grandchild because she was too old to bear that child. And everybody was standing. When I saw her, I didn't have to think twice. I jumped up. I said, Mama, sit down. She sat down. She said, you will live long. About 35 minutes later, her flight was called. Kano. She stood up to go board a flight to Kano. I went back to take my seat. She looked at me and said, you will live long. Guys, let me say this to you. That day, I knew I won't die before my time. Is anybody hearing me? What am I trying to say? There are things you do to people that don't deserve it. I shared the story here of a true story that happened. A pastor in this Enugu who was going to preach in Port Harcourt. On his way to preach in Port Harcourt, they stopped by somewhere to eat. I think around Okigwe or somewhere because he was hungry. They stopped by to eat. And as they stopped by, other cars also stopped by to eat in the place. They were eating and eating and eating, about to leave. It's a bishop. And the Holy Spirit said, pay for those people. Now, these people they are asking him to pay for, it was there when they all of them declared beer. Okay? Beer. All of them alcohol and food. And he watched them eating. And now the Holy Spirit said, pay. He said, me, pay for beer. He got up to go. He said, go back and pay for them. The voice was too loud for him to ignore. Reluctantly, he went back. And one of them was just about to pay for their so-called order. How much is it? He asked the waiter. The person said, mentioned the amount. He paid for them. The guy looked at him. Didn't say what to him. Didn't even say thank you. The bishop walked and entered his car. As he was about to drive off, that guy came and said, sir, he said, you are a good man. We won't kill you. He lifted his shirt, put the gun. He said, we are paid to assassinate you. We've been following you from Enugu. He said, but you are too good for us to kill you. He said, for this thing you did, he said, go. We'll return back and tell the guy who sent us that we can kill you. There are people that don't owe you anything. Be nice to them. There's an orphan. There's a child. There's an ochaya God has put at your disposal. Please be kind to them. And let me say this to you. I say to men, there are two kinds of women you should never, ever. See, don't. Now, okay, when I say two kinds of women, now I'll be misunderstood. But let me say this to you. And I'm saying this to generally, men generally. Listen, there are two kinds of people that you should be very, very careful with. Number one, a woman that is another man's wife. Don't look at her two times in your life. If you don't want to die before your time. Do you hear what I said? Number two, a woman that is stranded and at your mercy. Don't touch her. You will attract judgment on your generations unborn that you never prepared for. Pastor, are you saying we should sleep with the rest? No. 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 Because this is internet. Somebody will cut this little one now and say, ah, house on the rock again at 8. So, the answer is no. You're my witness. So when they start now, because they are in church. They are in church. They are recording everything I'm saying now. So they can have breaking news for them to trend. You know what I'm talking about? I'm begging you, sir. What I'm saying to you, take it seriously. Any woman that is vulnerable and is at your mercy, please don't touch her. It is a set up for you. If you touch her, the judgment that comes on you, you won't be able to recover from it. But this morning, I speak mercy over you. I speak mercy over you. Again, I speak mercy over you. Shout a loud amen now. Amen. Pastor, listen to this. Listen to this. In summary, the final number three way, how do I activate this mercy and goodness of God? Advance others even at your expense. Put it on the screen, my slide. Advance others. Push others forward even at your expense. That's what you saw in the story of the Good Samaritan. This guy was down. He does not know the guy. Pastors have passed this guy without looking at the guy. Priests have passed. The guy said, Mbano. I know that my business is very important. I know I'm going for, but we can't watch this guy bleeding on the ground. He brought out money at his expense. He poured oil and wine, took him to hospital and said, listen, not only am I making a deposit, any amount you spend more than this, I'm coming back, I will still pay it. Make sure this guy does not die. Ladies and gentlemen, say after me, say advance orders. I can't hear you say advance orders. For the last time, say advance orders. Can you say it louder, somebody? Look up here. Jonathan is the heir apparent to the throne. But he saw this guy called David, poor boy from poor family. Nobody knows his father, who came to work for the father. Jonathan made up his mind, at my own expense, I will promote this guy. He called David one day and said, listen, David, take off your shirt. He took it off. He gave him his robe, gave him his underwear, gave him his staff, gave him his sword, and said, listen, I know that biologically speaking, I'm the next king. But you know what? There's an anointing I've seen on you. You may become the next king. And I'm willing to sacrifice my position to push you forward. Please, parents, listen to me attentively. Help other people to move forward. None of us will be strong forever. One day we will become weak and you will need them. Is anybody hearing me? Please, sir. From day one, when I started ministry, I made up my mind, I will never do Superman ministry. Somebody say Superman ministry. You know Superman ministry? I'm the only one, I'm the Samson here. I'm the only one that can move the Philistines. I'm the only one who has revelation and anointing. So any day I'm sick, House on the Rock is sick. I travel, House on the Rock travel. You know what I'm talking about? So any day pastor is around, hey, God is not in church today. It's called Superman ministry. If I tried that stupidity, my family would have suffered to death. Because I didn't know one day is coming, my family will not be in Enugu, and I will need to travel. Do you know why I push this man? I will not be strong forever. And today, as I'm speaking to you, pastors have come to preach here. They are watching Rock News. They are saying, all my pastors, they are saying, wait, you mean you are giving your pastors this kind of publicity? You mean you are doing this for your pastors? I said to them, hey, you have not seen anything, no? I said, not only do I give them publicity, I said, number one, they go and represent. I said, today there are many programs I don't go for. You know why? God has given me men who are doing programs for me. Please talk to me, somebody. Because I have given my pastor's wings to fly. Now, many of them fly better than me. To the glory of my God. Please talk to me now. When I travel, church does not reduce by one person. You know why? Because these men have been given enough trust and visibility. They do better than me when I'm not around. They preach better. If I had done Superman ministry with this man, House on the Rock would have died a long time ago. You know why? Because it will be dependent on me, no longer on Jesus. Please, are you hearing me, somebody? You know, there's a story, very sad story, happened to a friend of mine. He was sharing with me in law school. His name is, what's his name again now? What's his name again now? One young boy, nice anointed boy. And he said to me, we're just talking. And I asked him, do you know how to drive? He said, listen. He said, you don't want to hear the story. I said, what's the story? And he said to me, he said, Pastor Edwin, he said, when I was very young, my father was very rich. He had several cars. And I would tell my father, I want to use one of the cars and learn driving. My father would say, God forbid. When you grow up, buy your own. When you grow up, daddy, you are getting old. Can we also learn how to drive? God forbid, if you touch my car, we'll kill you. When you grow up, buy your own. When you grow up, buy your own. Then the father became sick. One day he was almost dying and he called for the son. Elvis is his name. Elvis! Come and drive me to the hospital. Elvis said, sorry, daddy, I'm waiting to grow up. When I grow up, I will buy my own. Tears came out of the eyes of his father. He said, Pastor Edwin, I'm sorry, I repented before God. I walked away and left my father. And I said, I told him when I grow up, I won't drive your car. When I grow up, I will buy my own. Please, I'm begging you. You see, you are kicking everywhere right now, but you won't be like this forever. A day is coming. It's those people that you helped, you pushed forward, you lifted. They are the ones that will run all the errands for you. They are the ones that will become your mouth, your hand, your leg, and your everything. The last 1 year, my wife has not driven. For the last 1 year. But guess what? Just before the turn of that event, God bless Jane says. Those of you in media department know Jane says. God bless that girl. My wife and I try to teach the children how to drive. We don't get the heart. You know, a doctor cannot operate his child. Please talk to me now. We tried it. We shouted so much on them that they gave up driving. Don't ever try teaching your children how to drive. You won't succeed. Jesus carries them and enter road. I'll be shouting, hey, you are entering road. Guys, today, you see those children? See those children? For the last 1 year, my wife has not driven. Those children, they can drive from here to Sokoto and come back. And when we say drive, I hope you know it's not this kind of road. No, it's not this kind of road. So don't confuse the two. They are not the same. Because even me, when you have one 18-wheeler on your left, one on your right, at 85 kilometers per hour, you better speak in tongues. One 18-wheeler here, the other one here, and everybody's minding the white line. The difference between life and death is that white line, no? You know, yeah, there's no line on our road. Even if there is, it doesn't mean anything. Difference between life and death is that white line on your distance. 18-wheeler on your right, or even me till tomorrow, when there are two 18-wheelers by my side, are they speaking tongues more? But you see those children, they don't fear anything. Are you hearing me, somebody? They didn't fear anything. Today, They do all the driving in the house. What if we did not teach them at the time? And the person who taught them was Jane Cecil, that young lady. She was a media department here. That lady is like everything to us in America. She was a daughter here. She's more a daughter now in America. She does everything. The mama you saw on the day of her birthday, she made mama up. She made sure mama dressed up. She did everything to make sure that mama had a great birthday. That's apart from buying all the gifts in this world for her. Please, better clap for that girl for us. What am I trying to say? Please help somebody to stand. Tomorrow you will need them. Push somebody forward. Pay somebody's school fee. I know you don't owe them anything, but nobody knows who they will become tomorrow for you. Please, are you hearing me, somebody? Talk to me, are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? As I wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this to you, the final point. Please, if you're going to activate goodness and mercy, carry out acts of random kindness. Acts of random kindness. Pastor, what are you talking about? Very simple. In the next couple of days, be very intentional. It's my month of goodness and mercy. There's a woman somewhere in orthopedic hospital who has been discharged, can't leave because of 15,000. Take that money. Oh, Pastor, but you know that things are tough and hard. Listen to this. By now, you should have been wise enough to know that give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. And in helping that person, God is the one owing you. Is anybody hearing me? Go and pay that 15,000. Discharge them from the hospital. Locate somebody in your list. Buy them food. Give them something. Just look for somebody you can bless and be a blessing to them. And like I said, after blessing them, don't let it be wasted. Take this card and extend it to them. Give it as an act of random kindness. Why? As you are doing that, you are activating the seeds of growth. Sorry, the seeds of mercy and goodness in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, the final thing I want to say is, listen to this, avoid unforgiveness in this season. Somebody say unforgiveness. I can't hear you say unforgiveness. Listen to this. I know that your husband was very unkind to you when you didn't have a job. And I know that he starved you of money when he was strong and had all the money. Now he's broken up because he lost his job and you are not the one in charge. You want to pepper him back because of that thing he did to you. I'm begging you, don't do it. Have mercy on the man. He was stupid at the time, but right now you have the privilege to show him mercy and to mirror and model godliness for him. Model forgiveness for him. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Please, can I hear an amen, somebody? Be the one that will make up your mind and will never pay him evil for evil. Finally, the Bible says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Provide an habitation for the house of the Lord. Bring yourself down and be subject and be submissive to a covering in the house. Don't be that Christian that is in every church. Make up your mind that this is my house and I will be spiritually submissive to the authority of the church. Be a part of what's going on in this church. Pay your tithe if you have to. And guess what? Serve under a department. Don't be that one who has been in church forever and nobody ever feels your impact. Not financially, not in joining a department, not in joining a directorate. Nobody feels your impact after several years. For how long will you continue like this? I will dwell. Not I will visit, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a season where we are intentional in kindness and goodness. And I came to realize, ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that when the chips are down and life happens to people? For example, have you met somebody in his deathbed who is not too sure what the future holds for him when he's dying? Are you realize one of the greatest things everybody do on their deathbed is to ask for mercy? Please, what I'm saying, is it correct? Let me close with this testimony. Are you still with me, somebody? I close with a testimony. Somebody say goodness, say mercy. Say goodness, say mercy. May those two things follow you the rest of this year and beyond in the mighty name of Jesus. It's a true story, sir. 1 hour, 30 minutes into my flight, coming back to Nigeria, the pilots, they were serving food. The pilots stopped and said they should have bought serving the food. That's the first time I've seen that in international flights. That because there's a storm that is coming that they didn't see the storm. It was not captured in their radar. But that we should just please belt up our seat belts. In 20 minutes, the storm will be over. Everybody belted. They stopped serving food. Then we entered the storm. That Airbus mega was like a piece of paper. I said, no, be 20 minutes. I didn't look time. Once it was 20 minutes, the pilot came back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry that we're going to watch this thing for another 20 minutes again. He said, I would have normally gone above it or below it, but there's no way to dodge this storm. We didn't see this one when we were taking off. However, we have to go through it. At that time, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in the aircraft started confessing our sins. Somebody say mercy. Don't laugh at me, say mercy. Shout aloud, say mercy. Those who have hidden accounts started sending to their wives. Say, honey, I didn't tell you. I have two accounts in Zenith Bank that you don't know about. Just in case. I just say so that the children will not suffer. Gentlemen, we're not playing small, we're praying loud. Everybody was praying loud, including yours truly. Because the man said he doesn't know how to go around it. I don't want to describe the experience. It's not a good one. Father, this is not the covenant I have with you. Mercy. Somebody say mercy. Don't laugh now. Say mercy. You know this. Ladies and gentlemen, that storm lasted for 1 hour, 20 minutes. Now, 1 minute storm on the air is 1 hour, if not one day. It lasted for 1 hour, 20 minutes. But let me now give you the testimony. There's a gentleman sitting by my side, very annoying. Not only was he watching television, he was watching the TV with an attitude. I did vex the die for the man. I wasn't even angry with the storm, I was angry with the man. Why are we all dying? Everybody is screaming. When the storm now came, you know, he asked me, he said, that thing you were saying, what is it? I said, what do you think it was? I was speaking in tongues. And the guy put his hand in his pocket and brought out 3 ID cards. Number one, he said, I'm a staff of this airline. Okay, by the way, I didn't tell you. It was when we landed, we discovered that there's an hurricane that was headed for Jamaica called Melissa. We're caught in the middle of that hurricane. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when I knew it was bad, was when the guy said, number one, he said, I'm a staff of this airline. Number two, I'm an aircraft engineer. He showed me all the ID. 3 of them. He said, number three, he said, this is my license. He said, in all my years of practice, he said, by the way, this is my 6th journey to Nigeria. Now, because he flies for free, because he's a staff of the airline, he flies for free. He said, in all my 30-something years of working in the aviation sector, there's never been a storm that lasted more than 10, 15 minutes. He said, this storm is not ordinary. He said, when we land, we'll find out. And he said this to me. I said, but you are annoying me by your calmness. And the guy said this to me, and this is the message I want to leave with you this morning. He said, as an aviation expert, I know the plane will not crash. No matter the storm we're going through, he said, in aviation technology, it's like a balloon being tossed up and down. It will never crash. It will just keep bouncing up and down and down and up. He said, but even at that, I know this storm is not an ordinary storm. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, and I don't know the storm you're going through. But I came to declare over you, no matter the intensity of the storm in your life, by the mercy of God, you will not crash. By the mercy of God, you will come. Rise on your feet, you will come out of this. I prophesy over you that the God who did not give up on David, even when David committed sin against him, that God will not give up on you in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy over you the mercy of God will contend for you. That mercy will prevail for you. That mercy will fight for you. And that mercy will bring you deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the covenant of goodness and mercy never depart from your family. Never depart from your household. Never depart from your ministry and your assignment in the name of Jesus. That no matter the mistake you make in this life, I pray that covenant will speak for you. God's mercy will sustain you, and God's mercy will see you through in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout aloud, amen, somebody. If you receive that, put those hands together and give God praise in the house this morning. Come on, go ahead and celebrate your God. Okay, I'm so sorry. They said, just before I go, they said I should just pray over our offerings this morning. I'm so sorry for the extended time I took. Please forgive me. It's my first time in a long while. And I just wanted to just enjoy myself a little bit. Next Sunday, I promise to behave myself. You accept my apology? All right. Now, before you start going, can we take off? Those of you who are going away, can you respect God and just stay back where you are? We're done in the next few minutes. Those of you going away, respect God and stay back for a few minutes. Everybody sit down in the next couple of minutes. What did God release our offerings and our tithe? He said the covenant of mercy is a powerful covenant. We're only introducing this morning. I said those of you who are going away, can you sit back for a minute? And I'm so shocked how children of God behave. Can you sit down? Can you respect God and just sit down? I'm talking to those of you upstairs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to just give God generously this morning. And I'm going to be praying for all of you who are bringing before the Lord the worship of your tithe. Your tithe is a covenant with God. Many things activate the covenant of mercy. One of them is dwelling in the house of the Lord, being responsible financially in terms of the upkeep of God. This is what keeps food in the storehouse of God. This is what powers the programs and makes sure that we are doing the things we should do as far as the kingdom is concerned. We're giving you cards in your hand. Those cards were printed with money. Everything around this place is powered by somebody who gave to be able to advance the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning, you have your tithe in your hand. Can you rise on your feet? I'm going to bless the tithe and then I'm going to pray for the offerings. Anywhere you are, rise on your feet as I pray over it. It's called the covenant of mercy. The covenant of mercy goes with a lot of things we're going to be sharing with you about. One of them, I told you, dwell in the house. Be a part of the house. Be a part of those who make things happen. One of the ways to dwell in the house is to be financially responsible with your tithe. I pray for everyone, lift up that tithe. If you don't, just lift up your right hand, even if you are making a transfer to God. I pray for everyone who is releasing their worship in their tithe this morning. May the Lord answer you by fire. May the Lord come true for you. May the Lord receive this sacrifice from your hands. You have many, many things to do with money, but you still honored him with the 10%. I pray that same God will come true for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who is giving their offering this morning, can you also rise up with the offering you have for God? The Bible says, not willing, not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to give God generously. Listen to this. We're coming to the end of the year. This is a time to look back and say, Lord, you have been merciful to me. I should have died in that hospital, but I made it. I shouldn't have made it through that accident, but somehow I survived. The enemy has desired to take my life. See what happened the other time. Some of my children did not die and they are still alive. Lord, at this time, I came before you to say thank you. I came with so much thanksgiving for your loving kindness, for your mercy, and for your goodness in my life. One way to keep activating the goodness of God or the mercy of God is by giving generously to him. I pray for everyone that is bringing their offerings, bringing their tithes, several sacrifices and seed. Father, as they honor you this morning with their worship, even the worship of their finances, I pray that the God, you will honor them with goodness and mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that these ones will never lack in this life. That God, even the God that they respond to in worship this morning, will open the windows of heaven and continually pour upon them his mercies and goodness in the name of Jesus Christ. For those who dwell in the house of the Lord, the Bible says, my cup runs over. I pray that their cup of finances, business, whatever is the source of their income, will continue to run over in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that as they lift their hand to give you in sacrifice or sacrificially this morning, let none of them lack any good thing in this life in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord, and I declare that as we get to the end of this year, God will increase your finances exponentially in the name of Jesus. There will be no bill before you that the power of God cannot provide for in the name of Jesus Christ. The goodness and the mercy of God will visit your business, your income, and everything that has to do with your finances in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shout a better amen. Amen.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.